You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. I have to tell you, I'm in a little bit of shock out here. Everything that's going on is so surreal to me, Ron, because we are reacting in this country, overreacting to a completely false narrative. And it really, really bothers me. And I know that I'm not the only one who sees this, because I've been talking to people as we're in California, and everybody's kind of the same way. Some people just shut down. Other people, I mean, they're all over the map. They think that police officers are racist, and, you know, that they need to be, you know, put under control, and they're terrible. And other people like us, you know, see the truth for what it is, because this narrative that I have heard all week, that police officers are racist, that they are brutally murdering blacks, is absolutely a false narrative. The stats do not back that up one bit.
Well, you know, I'm going to go over those stats because, you know, I keep those stats every single day from all over the country. But let's just start out on an even playing field here for a second. And that is, there is not a false narrative in regards to the in-custody death of George Floyd.
No,
okay,
not
I mean,
at all.
There is. You and I are absolutely in agreement that that is not a false narrative. That was completely unnecessary death. Those officers have been rightfully arrested, and they'll serve their day in court. They'll have their day in court. Per their constitutional rights, and we'll see whether a jury of their peers convicts them and sentences them. But that's horrific. And every single police officer I know, and I'm, you know me, I belong to probably 50 or more social media groups. They're all law enforcement and forensic groups. And then outside of social media, I belong to a ton of professional law enforcement and forensic groups. And there are thousands of law enforcement, criminal justice, and forensic professionals talking right now. And we are universally ticked off about what those officers in Minneapolis did.
Well, absolutely.
You know, I mean, we spent our careers doing everything we could, sacrificing, many of us having, you know, lost marriages, placed ourselves in extreme risks, have been combat wounded more than once, PTSD in our ranks, high levels of suicide in our ranks, and all to support and defend our communities, including protecting people's civil rights.
Yes.
You know, and there's just no doubt about that. And when officers go off and do something criminal, I'm not even going to call it stupid. That goes far beyond what those officers did, goes so far beyond stupid, it's ridiculous. What those officers did was absolutely unnecessary. And the triers of fact will determine whether it was murderous or not. Okay. But as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty much it. Okay. Because we have talked about this so many times. We got about 900,000 peace officers in the United States, of which 600,000 work the streets. And every single month alone, they make tens of millions of contacts with the public.
And almost no uses of force in those tens of millions of contacts.
Well, no, I mean, 1% going over to 2% of all of these tens of millions of contacts resort in any type of use of force. And of course, the use of deadly force is a very, very small percentage of that. And as a matter of fact, and this is this false narrative that police officers are killing people left and right, and they're killing black people left and right. Uses of force involving deadly force have been reduced by 50% in the last 20 years alone.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's a huge false narrative.
Well, but so many people are putting it out, and so many people are on the news stations putting out that false narrative and saying that police are, they're racist, and they constantly, you know, murder Black people, and this is not true. And it makes me angry because people are reacting to that false narrative. And I see it in people that I know, say on Facebook or Twitter, people that I know, people that are good people. And they're falling into that same trap of blaming the police. This was one officer. No different than if it was one person doing something of any color to anybody. And the other thing that bothers me about this, Ron, is where did race come into this? It was a white officer and a Black man. So I don't know what was in that officer's heart. Obviously not a lot of good was in his heart at that moment. But I don't know that it was because somebody was a different color. Don't know that.
Well, let's just talk about what we do know. And there's four officers involved in this case. And the officer that's the primary officer that's been charged with murder, that officer was white. Okay. However, the other officers that were involved in that case, one other officer was white, one officer was Asian, and one officer is a mixed race. Okay. So it isn't a bunch of white officers killing a Black man. Okay, it was sort of a mix, a 50-50 mix. But let's get back here to reality. And, you know, I wish I could take some of your friends that have posted on social media that clearly don't have any understanding of what the truth is. And I'd love to take the Black Lives Matter people and the Antifa people and all these, liberal, new progressive left politicians and their followers and put them all in one room and give them a wake-up call about what the real statistics are. You know what? Let's just do one thing for a second. Let's just take the city of Chicago and let's just take the week of the end of May to the beginning of June. It's just 6 days, right? We're just talking 6 days, 1 week, including the weekend. And during that 1 week alone, in the city of Chicago, predominantly in Southside Chicago, which is a huge minority community, they had 29 people shot and killed, 138 people wounded, and a total of 32 homicides, because not everybody was shot and killed, other people were stabbed. Okay, so it had 32 total homicides, of which 29 people were shot and killed. Of those victims, 72% of all the people shot and killed were Black. 72%, 18% were Hispanic, and only 5% were white or Asian or other races. So let's just take that. Let's talk about officers involved shootings in the first 6 months in Chicago. Officer involved shootings. There have been 5 officer involved shootings in 6 months, only 5. 3 were killed, 2 were wounded. So if you take just what happened in this last week, including the weekend, and you compare that with 6 months of officer engagements of people, tens of thousands of engagements by Chicago Police Department with people, predominantly people of color.
Yes.
The people in Chicago, civilians that killed each other, 966% greater in 1 weekend as compared to officer-involved shootings for this year so far. 1 week, 1 weekend, 966% more killings. And the people who killed those Black and Hispanic and white victims, predominantly Black suspects.
Yes, and to date, over 1,000 have been shot and killed in Chicago.
As a matter of fact, I will tell you, there's been 264 homicides so far in the 6 months in Chicago, and of those, 238 were shot and killed, but they've had something like 1,300 people shot and wounded.
Okay. So lots of people have been shot there, but the point is we're talking about the police that are after everybody and that are, you know, just making a point to be racist and go after Black people unfairly. And yet I hear no outcry about these innocent lives that are in Chicago. And how innocent they are, I don't know. Okay, but I definitely know that just looking at the stats from this last weekend, there was 18-year-old girls, several of them, that were murdered. There were young people that were murdered. There was a visiting person from outside of Chicago visiting his family who was murdered. So these are not people that are involved in a lot of things that they're doing wrong. Yet we hear no outcry. We don't hear it from Mayor Lori Lightfoot. We don't hear it from anybody in the community. We don't hear it from the politicians.
You don't hear it from the aldermen, the people that are in control of the city of Chicago. And that's just one city. That's one microcosm. We're not even talking about Baltimore. We're not even talking about New York City. We're not even talking about Detroit. Okay, we're talking just that one city. Can you imagine if I gave you all the statistics, which we don't have time for tonight, about what's happening in all these other cities, but they mirror what's going on in Chicago.
Well, and they do. And the thing about Chicago is they have really emasculated, I guess would be the word. I'm not sure if that's the right word. The police department there in Chicago. And so we don't see a lot of that. You know, the shootings are down. Even in their worst years, they only had about 12 shootings. So as far as the officers, but they put a board over the police department there, a civilian board, which is absolutely a joke of people who don't know what they're doing.
And don't forget, they're also under a federal consent decree, right, with the United States Department of Justice, which is much more serious than any, you know, civilian oversight commission.
So what we've done by taking the powers away from the police like they have in Chicago is we have made the problems for the citizens far, far worse. And that's what is frustrating me about everything that's going on here. I'm looking, Ron, at places, banks, at all kinds of different businesses that are saying, well, you know, we're gonna put this money towards the Black community. Okay, you're making them win with their bad behavior. That is not fair. That's not the way to do this, is that we don't let somebody burn your buildings down and tell you that they're going to take everything from white people. And, you know, all of this talk that's going on, and then you reward them. It makes no sense to me. This is just Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole to me. I would like to see us go back to the broken windows policing and stop the crime when it's small, before it gets to these levels.
And you're referring to the criminological concept of broken windows, meaning, you know, in the old days, if you had, you know, you go by a warehouse and it had a broken window, and if you didn't immediately repair that window, then the next day there'd be two windows broken and five windows broken, and then graffiti, and then all of a sudden there's burglaries and they burn the place down. And exactly right, by being proactive and addressing those crimes immediately, addressing those behavioral issues, we found that we can be very successful. But you're absolutely right, Linda. They're just handcuffing the police. And of course, you know, all of this was, you know, was discussed by me. I wrote about all of this in my very popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And it's so interesting because you and I, we visited Fulfillment today, the Fulfillment Center, and we're selling tons of these books because people are understanding. And what's going on in the United States right now is the Black Lives Matter movement that I wrote about has what I refer to as the 4D plan. The 4D plan. Number one, disenfranchise police from the community.
Which they're trying to do now.
With the false narratives.
Yes.
Number two, because you create the false narratives and you keep repeating the false narratives so that people believe it, you distance the community from the officers. You distance them. They don't want to, meaning they don't want to have anything to do
right,
with them.
Which they're doing
right?
now.
They don't want to serve them in restaurants. They can't get a cup of coffee, right? And the third thing, which is what we're seeing right now, is defunding law enforcement. We're seeing that in Minneapolis. We're seeing that in Chicago. We're seeing it in New York. We're seeing it in Los Angeles. We're seeing it all over the place. And the last one, and Minneapolis is already there, dissolve law enforcement. In other words, get rid of the police department. Get rid of the law enforcement presence, if you can imagine that. Disenfranchise, distance, defund, dissolve.
And then you give the criminals their way. And then the public is never safe. And you can't do this to people. And why are we so willing to let the criminal side of our society win? And why are we so willing to not take the steps in our society to stop the problem? And the problem is not the police. The problem is the way in which people are brought up and the education that they get, the parenting or lack of parenting that they get.
Or the lack of education they get.
Yes. The jobs or the lack of jobs or their unwillingness to get jobs.
Or
the,
get job skills the, so they can yes, get jobs.
The gangs, the gang problem is huge. And who can help with many of those things is your police department. And they do it every single day. They do so much good on the street for so many people, and it doesn't matter the people's color. When a police officer handles a problem, they don't see a person's color. They see the problem and they handle the problem. And that is the way that it is. And, you know, we've been there and we understand it. But to be accused in this way and to be not supported by the politicians who have put themselves above the police departments, because you know how I feel. It used to be that the police departments were equal and autonomous from the politicians, and then the politicians put themselves above the police departments, and that created just a big mess. And now you have police officers that are walking off the job, and believe me, I would do the same thing in this kind of an environment. You know, without the support of your bosses, basically, and the public, you have nothing. So everything that they're doing, to my mind, is based on a false narrative, and they're taking the exact opposite steps that they should take to make this problem better.
Yeah, you know, exactly right. And I mean, the last thing you want to do is defund law enforcement. And the other last thing you want to do is dissolve it and not have law enforcement present in your community. And, you know, one of my colleagues, Dr. McDonald, who wrote a wonderful book called The War on Police, which matches many of the statistics that I've written about in the Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter movement and the war on police, has talked about this. And what Dr. McDonald has said, and I agree 100%, is any time that you remove a law enforcement presence, the people that get hurt the most is the minority community. They are the victims. And, you know, we were just talking about these Chicago statistics where, you know, 72% of all the people that are being shot and killed are Black people, and they're being shot and killed by other Black people. Can you imagine what it would be like if there was zero police presence in the city of Chicago, and especially Southside Chicago? It would be chaos. Burn it to the ground.
Well, and so many of the victims that have been from this situation with their stores looted and burned up have also been Black business owners. This is a horrific situation, and people need to understand that they are really being played here.
Oh, there is no doubt of the propaganda manipulation of the mainstream media, Black Lives Matter. That's all taking place. But I want to continue this conversation with you after I get you your first cup of coffee.
Okay.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Well, thanks for the coffee. And Ron, do you know who Andrew McCarthy is?
I do. He's a prolific conservative writer.
He is. He is a senior fellow at the National Review Institute, and he's also a contributing editor. He wrote an article. You know, I love his articles. He's really to the point. But what I loved about this particular article, which was titled Defund the Police, Here's What Dems BLM Ignoring About Crime. And, you know, sometimes I struggle to put into words how I feel about what's happening. And in a nutshell, how I feel is that, I mean, the American people are absolutely being played. They're being played by people who want to create anarchy in our country. And they're also being played by progressive liberals and lawmakers who honestly don't understand policing or what it's about or how it helps.
Well, Linda, you're exactly right. I thought it was an amazing article. The way he speaks, the way he writes is so articulate and it makes so much sense. We are going down a road that I have written about in my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, that was, you know, absolutely prophetic. In other words, telling people just recently where we were going to go with this Black Lives Matter movement and Antifa and how the political winds were going to blow and how the new progressives that are controlled by Marxists, radicals like the Black Lives Matter movement, are going to eventually destroy this country. And right now we're going through two of the phases of the Black Lives Matter, what I refer to in the book as the 4 D's. Disenfranchised, they've been working on that for years, distancing law enforcement from the community, from the civilian community, the citizens, and now more sophisticatedly, the businesses. Here we are right now talking about defunding not only law enforcement programs, which I wrote about in the book, but law enforcement agencies, entire agencies. In other words, not having agencies. And that is the last part of it, which is dissolving. And I'm absolutely amazed of how quickly this took on.
Well, Andrew McCarthy points out that a new breed of progressive prosecutors, many of them who are backed by the likes of George Soros and people like that, have taken, you know, root in places like San Francisco, Chicago, Philadelphia, and urban centers around the country. And these are the people that are doing the no bail and letting the criminals out. When you defund the police, especially in a time as now, where we need the police more than ever before, you are destabilizing our entire country. And what people don't know, Ron, and we talk about this all the time, what people don't know is they don't remember the high crime rates that we had back in the 60s
and the 70s.
And what happened at that time is we actually increased police presences. We absolutely didn't defund the police. The police were allowed to do their job, and things that we did in the departments, field interviews and those types of things, they've stopped allowing officers to do.
Right, stop and frisk.
Broken windows, one of my favorite programs ever. They've stopped most of that. Those are the things that made our crime rates the lowest that they've been in many years. However, there has been a recent, in the last number of years, a recent increase in crime. As they have decreased the power of the police department, there has been an increase in crime. And the other thing that really bothers me is the false narrative about that police target Black people. And this is what we're hearing every day right now with this whole Black Lives Matter movement, that police are, it's police brutality, it's that police are racist, and nothing could be further from the truth. Police honestly don't see people, you know, as a color. They see, they go to handle a problem. And by the way, police today reflect the diversity of the communities that they work in.
You know what? Let me just briefly mention that. You know, going all the way back to the founding days of the London Metropolitan Police Department, of which that model started law enforcement in the United States. And Sir Robert Poole, who started the Metropolitan Police, give you a little history lesson here for a second. He made a really good comment. He goes, the citizens are the police, and the police are the citizens.
Yes.
And what you're saying is exactly true. And here's something people probably even haven't put together. And that is the ranks of law enforcement today, especially in urban populations, reflects more of the minority community than our own lawmakers in Congress or the Senate reflect their communities as a whole.
Or the judicial system. That's absolutely true. You know, that's a really good point, that the police, they reflect the community, right? The citizens are the police and the police are the citizens. That is how it works. And to say that police are racist is just wrong. This incident with George Floyd had nothing to do with racism. The fact that it was happened to be a white officer and a Black man had nothing to do with racism, and there's no evidence of that whatsoever. Yet people have taken this around the country and used it as an excuse to create chaos and crimes and looting and all of these things. They have closed down police departments, which in Seattle and New York, I'm just in shock that the politicians, the mayors of those cities allowed those things to happen. Not in Minnesota. That the politicians allowed those things to happen. And we have become a society of a bunch of wusses, in my opinion. Our politicians are completely going in the wrong direction. And it's a false narrative for people to believe that we need to coddle these criminals or do something special. There's one governor or mayor or somebody that says that he's going to make sure that in Kentucky, all Black people have insurance. Okay, wait a minute. It's all people. I want to stop the Black and the white and the this and the that. It's people. People all have the same responsibilities in society, Ron. They have the responsibility to not harm other people, and they have the responsibility to be self-sufficient and accountable for their actions. And all of a sudden, we no longer hold people accountable for their actions. And now you want to defund and take away the only people that are there between the public to hold criminals accountable for their actions against the public. That makes no sense to me. And all the people, including my friends that I see on Facebook and social media, that are saying, yeah, I mean, that's right. You don't know what you're talking about. This is not a truth. And it's designed to do exactly what it's doing, to destabilize America. And that we can't let that happen.
Well, it's too bad, you know, that some of the friends that you have on social media that are in, you know, your business community have not had the opportunity to, you know, work the street like you and I have, or even to be on a ride along to see what police officers do for a living and the risks that they take every single day. You know, I just keep talking about what is in the Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and War on Police book, where I take all of these false narratives and break them down and show everyone with real facts how the Black Lives Matter movement and the new progressive left are absolutely wrong with everything that they are doing with regards to disenfranchising, distancing, you know, defunding and dissolving law enforcement. So I'm listening to the mayor of Minneapolis, the female mayor, that's talking. I'm sorry, it wasn't the mayor, it was the president of their city council. And she's trying, somebody asked her, okay, so what would that model, now you've gotten rid of the Minneapolis Police Department, what model are you going to replace it with? And she said something like, well, we need to have social workers and de-escalators and the community programmers and things like that instead of the police. Wait a minute. You're telling me that if there is a domestic violence call, there's a crime of violence, there's a rape in progress, there's an armed robbery in progress, there's some sort of gang violence, there's anarchy, I mean, rioting, you name it. So what you're going to do is you're going to train and deploy a bunch of social workers and community volunteers and you know, people like that to respond to those calls for service, unarmed people responding to calls for service. That's your model, and you think that's going to work?
You know, if it wasn't so tragic for the people of Minnesota, I would say let them do it and good luck with that and let's see how that works. But the problem is that we're talking about real people's lives who live in that state, who are going to be seriously affected in so many ways by this. And, you know, one of the other things that Mr. McCarthy said was that this whole new brand of progressive prosecutors, they're seeing policing that prosecutes and imprisons people as triggers of crime rather than deterrents of crime. And nothing could be further from the truth. So they reject the things that we embrace, which is like the intelligence-based policing and broken windows policing. Those are the things that have historically worked that caused us to have the low crime. Where we are now is the people in the last couple generations, they don't remember the 60s and the crime, right? They don't remember what people like us went through at that time and worked so hard to get where we are today, and they're tearing it all apart. Why? Because in the schools, they don't teach any of this and they don't know any of this.
You know, there's so many things that bother me about everything that's happening on so many levels. And one of the things that I find just horrific about this is the match that lit the fuse here, because this has been building for some time with the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, groups like Antifa and people like George Soros, who I believe are the, you know, the puppeteers. They,
yes,
they mm-hmm. control the marionettes. They fund the marionettes, you know, all of these people, what we're seeing as you're referring to it scares the hell out of me, prosecutorial advocacy and judicial advocacy. I have seen prosecutorial advocacy at work, and I am going to, when I am defending officers, both white and black, okay, who are being accused of crimes that they did not commit, where they did justifiable uses of force, including officer-involved shootings, 100% justifiable, albeit regrettable, because someone either lost their life or were seriously injured. And I have seen prosecutors and district attorney investigators who have been police officers themselves turned into advocates and lie, absolutely lie in front of grand juries, absolutely lie in front of a jury and try to spin the truth, when I have to go in and present scientific evidence to prove to a jury that what the prosecutors and even their own district attorney investigators are saying is patently false. This scares the hell out of me. Can I say one more thing, Linda? What happened with George Floyd was an atrocity, albeit an aberration. And I talk about that in the book. You know, if you look at it, you know, nationwide, uses of deadly force have really significantly dropped in the last 20 years. I talked about this before when we began our coffee conversation. But when officers like these officers in Minneapolis behave in this way and a man dies as a result of it, it is easy for people like Black Lives Matter and anybody else, even just civilians that have nothing to do with Black Lives Matter, your friends, my friends, we look at this, police officers, we look at this and we say, oh my God, how could you do this to another human being? You know, people are screaming, he can't breathe. He's screaming, he can't breathe. We're watching the officer stay on top of this man and, you know, death results, you know, whether it's definitely contributory, whether it's cause of death or not, I think that's going to be a medical determination. But what it does is removes and destroys everything that you and I and all of our brothers and sisters in law enforcement, both past and present, and those who have died in defense of their own communities have done to build up community relations.
And all that we're talking about right now in our communities is police brutality. Where are we talking about the people's brutality? Because the fact is that when we are talking about these things like, oh, look at the inordinate number of, you know, Black people in jail. Well, I'm sorry to say, but there is an inordinate amount of crime, a disproportionate amount of crime committed by the people that are in jail. They don't just get handcuffed and put in jail for nothing.
So, and they're convicted by their own peers.
Or
they plead guilty and nobody is forcing them to plead guilty.
And they're not convicted by white juries. They're convicted by people in their communities. So we have to stop and think about what's happening here and how we're falling into being played. The law and order that we have enjoyed over the last number of years after the craziness of the 60s and 70s was fought hard for by law enforcement, Ron, and it protected people. And now we're taking those protections away, and it's scary for a lot of people. And you look, and when I keep bringing up Chicago, but you have to look at Chicago, and you have to look at a mayor there who will do nothing about her own community. And they blame the police. They totally put the handcuffs on the police in Chicago, and look what you have there.
I totally agree. And you know what? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to buy you a cup of coffee, and I'd like to come back, and I'd like to talk with you about the history of some of this, which has taken over many years, and where we are right now and where we're going, and to use some of your phraseology, Lynn, to what end? And then finally, who does this ultimately hurt? How about a cup of coffee?
Okay.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
There are for sure, Ron, some officers who can be bad eggs. Would you agree?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Just like in any business at all, look at teachers. We have teachers having sex with students. We have all kinds of different things happening. We can't have public union employees who have no accountability. And especially, I mean, I see that with teachers a lot, where you can't get rid of them because of tenure. The police departments, as a matter of fact, are second-guessed and watched over closer than almost any other agency in the country.
Well, you mean career path in the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, full disclosure, and you know this, I don't know if all of our listeners and followers know it, but, you know, my first case was Rodney King, and I worked for the United States Department of Justice in the federal prosecution of those officers who were eventually convicted and a couple of them imprisoned. And I've done a tremendous amount of civil rights work for people of color and testified against officers in civil rights abuses. But fair is fair. And I know that the vast, vast majority of our law enforcement people act heroically and admirably every single day. And it is horrific the way that they are portrayed.
Yes, it is. And people need to think, officers have to make snap judgments. I mean, judgments in a second. And you can't second guess everything they do. If something is egregious, as it was in the Floyd case, okay, that's one complete thing. But every single day, they have to make judgments in seconds.
Life and death judgments.
And you've got to give them some leeway to do that. The problem is that when we start taking police out of communities, who gets hurt the worst? It's going to be the minority communities who are going to be most targeted and most wronged by the criminals.
That's 100% correct. What has happened now, especially in the urban cities, as we have this restorative justice and we have years and years and years of letting people off and no accountability, and we have a lot of gun crime violence. Not because the gun, because there are violent people wielding the gun that should not be armed whatsoever and actually should be in jail or in prison, but they are released. And now, with this so-called restorative justice, we have zero bail. People can, you know, commit all sorts of crimes. And what constitutes a crime is becoming, or a nonviolent crime, as Mr. Andrew McCarthy says, is becoming more elastic every single day.
Yeah, it's almost arbitrary. So again, what Andrew McCarthy says, which I totally agree with, and I think you do too, it says, though police encounter minority suspects at higher rates because they offend at higher rates, that is just a fact of life, that they offend at higher rates, therefore there's more of them in prison and there's more contacts. But it doesn't have anything to do with targeting young Black males or Black males or anything else. It has to do with the crimes they commit. Now, here's the solution.
Let me say one thing, though. Instead of racial profiling, police officers behaviorally profile.
Yes, exactly. And we don't hear any of that. The issue is that most of their crimes, as a matter of fact, happen against their own communities. And when you defund and take the police away, those are the people that are going to get hurt more than anybody. People in other communities, everybody's going to be hurt. There's no doubt in every single community, because it's not only Blacks that commit crimes. It's whites, it's Asians, it's everybody that commits crimes. So wherever you live, people are going to be more targeted with less police. We are going in the total wrong direction on this, which is what bothers me so much, that the narrative is gaining steam and traction with people because the news media reports it over and over. They say it as though it's true. The politicians say it as though it's true. They're letting criminals out. Does anybody not see what I see, that the crime rates are going up and that people are being hurt by these people that are let out of prison or not even put in prison, right? It's no bail. So just get out and do it again.
You know, the more progressive criminologists would tell you, oh, you know, Linda, you know, crime is going down. Crime is going down. Well, reported crime is probably going down, but that's because people are so scared now. They're not reporting crime. And by the way, they have, as you said, you know, municipalities, mayors, politicians, city councils, courts have handcuffed law enforcement so much. In New York City and Chicago are two great examples of handcuffing the police. The police don't even respond to crimes anymore. You know, like you have a burglary in your house, your car gets broken into, your stuff gets stolen, your bicycle gets stolen, you know, things like this. People, they know that when they call the police department to get a squad car to come out to investigate, they say, well, let you, you know, just call it in and we'll take a report over the phone. I can't tell you how frustrating that is for a person that's been victimized, that have been violated, to have their own police department tell them, well, we're going to take that report over the phone and we're not going to bring anybody out to dust for fingerprints like we used to do, and to do a neighborhood canvas and to ask questions and to look for suspicious people and to stop and frisk them and find stolen property, you know, like we used to do. I mean, we used to do police work, and now there's been so much handcuffing and so much historic defunding already of police officers, defunding training, defunding anti-crime programs, that they just don't do police work the way they used to do police work. And so they don't report the crimes.
Absolutely. And you have to imagine that a police officer who goes out on, say, a burglary, and they do it over and over again, and that burglar is out before he's done writing the paperwork on the crime, what kind of motivation do you expect police officers to have?
You know, I want to just go back, and I always try to just simplify things. So you get these, you know, left progressive so-called criminologists and these professors, never been out on the street, never talked with any real victims in their lives, never done any police work in their lives. They're basically professor researchers, you know, in a laboratory. And, you know, I would love to say to them, well, are things better in those communities or are they worse? Are they better in those communities or are they worse? Are people, if there's less crime, are people more confident in walking in the dark to go to the store if you're a senior citizen and you're walking three blocks to get to a store? Or are you not? Are more people considered hostages in their own homes and they don't go out at night at all? Okay, so if there's less crime, how come people don't feel so safe?
Well, there's not less crime.
Of course there's not.
Yeah, that's and what the things that you were talking about, if you go take that report the first time, say a burglary or a stealing the bike, and you get that person who committed the crime, that's your broken windows theory, that you get them when they commit a low level crime so that they never get to the high level crimes. And that is not happening anymore. They're not letting us do that. I don't understand, America, why do you vote these people in? They are destroying your freedoms, your freedom of peace of mind and your freedom of peace of life and enjoying your life. One more thing that Andrew McCarthy said, and then I'll leave Andrew McCarthy, but I just think it's just one of the best articles I've written. He says it would be much better if we came to that realization through common sense than if we allowed history to repeat itself. Societal peace and prosperity are dependent on the rule of law, on the order that police uphold. When that is lost, it takes many years to get it back. The damage wrought in the meantime would be incalculable. I so agree. We cannot let these people take over, and we cannot, I don't know, the people bending their knee and saying, you know, I'm going to now donate all this money that was supposed to go to the police department to Black communities. I'm going to do this and that. What are we talking about here? Let's be real that where the crime comes from, let's make people be accountable, whoever they are, whatever color they are, it does not matter. Make people be accountable. If that person committing the crime is wearing blue, as in a police officer, he has to be accountable as well. But everybody has to be accountable, and we have to stop letting people off because of their color. This is gone totally crazy to me, and we are not forwarding a good America to leave to our children and grandchildren.
No, I absolutely agree. And you know what I wanted to kind of do during, you know, this last coffee conversation this evening, is I wanted to kind of provide you with a little bit of insight into how this has taken place. And, you know, there is a man, I don't even know if he's still alive anymore, but he was a KGB propaganda expert, okay, with the old Soviet Union, and his name was Yuri Beneznov. Beneznov is his name. And I watched an interview with him, and back in 1984, this interview, so, you know, a number of years ago, and everything that Yuri talked about, I've talked about at length in the Black Lives Matter book. And, you know, you alluded to this, Linda, just now, and you said, you know, it takes years, and McCarthy says the same thing. It takes years and years and years for us to have gotten to where we are today. And so what Bezmenov said is the Soviet Union has totally infiltrated our government and the way that the United States is run today. And before everybody says, oh, you know, Dr. Ron, you're nuts. That's black helicopters. Dr. Ron is the last guy that believes in conspiratorial theories and black helicopters. So let me just explain, you know, I talked about the four Ds, right? Let's talk about the stages of how we get to where we are today. And you're going to see that it matches those four Ds. And it, both systems put us exactly where we are today. He says phase number one is demoralization. And this is important that Americans do this to other Americans. And what demoralization is when teachers don't teach civics anymore, so they have no idea about how the United States government is run. They have no idea about what democracy is. They don't teach civics. You have no idea what the rule of law is, who the protectors of the rule of law are. You don't learn about having respect for authority. You don't learn the difference between the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what rights you have as citizens in the United States and what rights you don't have as citizens of the United States.
And you don't learn about national pride and the things that make us different than anywhere else
on
earth.
And eventually national pride is chided and you're shamed for being proud that you're an American. And I don't want to get into the politics, but that's one of the reasons why they hate Donald Trump so much, is because he is an American nationalist, you know, America first.
And President Obama was an apologist for America. He fit right exactly into this.
And by the way, that's why this sped up during the Obama era, okay, extremely exacerbated this, sped it way up, including all the rhetoric against law enforcement. Okay, but what Yuri talked about is that this takes about 30 years to get there. And because what you have to do is not just create one generation, but two generations of Americans that are demoralized, right? They're not educated. And then you tell them how bad America is. You tell them everything about America that's bad and how there's a class struggle. And you know what I'm saying? And there's separatism and there are hyphenated Americans because Americans are bad people and we're racist and we're, you know, we're the ruling class and, you know, all of these different things. It's class warfare. Then comes destabilization. And in destabilization, the professors, the Americans doing this to Americans, they attack four areas of our government. They attack the economy. They attack foreign relations. They attack our defense systems. Actually, it was three, not four. And this is pure Marxist-Leninist ideology
in the United
States. And you can see
every one of those things happening.
Can you not see that? The third one is normalization. By the way, I'm sorry, the third area is crisis. And that's where we are today. Now, by the way, destabilization takes between 2 and 5 years to do. Obama was in office for 8 years.
Yeah.
So the destabilization took place during the Obama era. And now here we are, and we're all the way into crisis. And so look at the crises that we've had. And it says it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for this situation to boil over, where there is just extreme violence. So we had COVID. So we had COVID right now, which attacks what? It attacks the economy. It attacks our foreign relations, right? And now we are attacking each other in the United States. We're attacking law enforcement. We're talking about turning over governments. We're you know, all of these types of things.
And our enemies are loving it.
And the last stage, which is going to follow, is normalization. Now, in communist Marxist nations, it's a violent overthrow, right? It's a coup. It's a violent overthrow of democracy. And then, you know, Marxists come in and they take over. Fascists come in and they take over. And they say, okay, everything's okay now. Everything's all right. In our country, because we have a democracy, that normalization process has to take place by what's going on right now. Chaos, looting, shootings, throwing law enforcement under the bus. and also by the vote. By right. the vote.
Right.
And that's what's happening right
and
now.
And that's what's happening. And that's why it's so, so important for people to pay attention who they're voting for, because you are either voting for progressive lefts who are going to take us down a path of destruction of America as we know it, or we're going to go back to being America as we have known it and be the greatest country on earth. I mean, we have a big divide right now, and we have to choose our way. The biggest problem to me, Ron, is that you have that first thing that happened, which is demoralization, that has already happened to the people that you are seeing in the streets right now, because they don't understand America or what it means to be an American.
Well, and they have no sense of history, because they've taken really history out and rewritten, you know, history. And that's why when people go out there and you see that they defaced the 54th Regiment of Massachusetts monument, you know, they just defaced it. And Black Lives Matter is written all over it. The 54th Regiment of Massachusetts was an all-black regiment and depicted very heroically in the movie called The Glory.
And they have no idea of that history, none.
With Matthew, you want to see a great movie about the 54th Black Regiment in Massachusetts, see the movie called The Glory, Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington, all right? Come on, people. And then you see they completely smashed and defaced the statue of Abraham Lincoln and completely defaced the Lincoln Monument. For God's sakes, the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln freeing the slaves.
But they don't understand.
They don't even know.
Yeah. It's this, and they currently are getting rid of any conservative professors that speak out against this. That we are in such a bad place in the United States. People need to wake up and understand their history, understand that the police department are not their enemies. In fact, they are their biggest protector. They are the biggest thin blue line between criminals and anarchy and
peaceful
safety.
Exactly. And you know, and I just want to just, you know, end up our conversation this evening on where we could go in the future here, okay, as we, you know, come into an election in November. This is a fight for the real freedoms and the real democracy of the United States. This is as close to good over evil as it's ever going to, you know, get in the United States. And let me tell you what happens with so-called normalization. And by the way, and Linda, with respect to normalization, and Yuri Benzinov says that that's actually a cynical term by the Soviet Union, right? But what happens is they elect people that eventually become benevolent dictators. And what do you think the first thing they do is, and we've kind of talked about this, so the radical left, the politicians, and the so-called civil rights protesters that were instrumental in the subversion of the United States and destabilized our nation, well, now they know too much. Okay, and they're going to get rid of them. And that's what's going to happen. Just like it happens in every single Marxist, communist, Leninist country, the people that brought the benevolent dictators into power, including the news media, they're eliminated. So I want people to kind of think about that and ask themselves, right now, is this the country that you want to live in? And is this where you want to go in the immediate future? Are you ready for time for bed?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.